We're joined here on the phone this morning on News Radio KMAN by Senator Roger Marshall, who joins us live here on News Radio KMAN. Good morning, sir.
Brandon, it's great to be with you. It's been too long. So many things. We haven't got to stop and celebrate. My Wildcats got a bowl game. I've got big bets going with the Louisiana Senators on that ball game. So just looking forward to a great conversation. We got a new president coming to K-State, so life goes on.
That is true. Yeah, we have a lot of good things going on. And, you know, we might just start there. I know you were in Kansas this past weekend celebrating the life of the great Bob Dole, who passed away a weekend before. Your thoughts on his legacy and what we can all take away from his life and service to our country?
Yeah, boy, there's so many things. Great American statements, the war hero. Everybody has a memory of Bob Dole, but maybe two that I would share with you all. Number one is every time I saw him, every time I heard him talk, he would say, "Roger, remember where you're from." And the values that he got in Russell, Kansas, being raised in Russell, Kansas during the Depression, the people that helped to make Bob Dole who Bob Dole is, we all have those people in our lives. And it's just a great time for us to stop and acknowledge and remember where we're from. And the other piece of advice he gave me is no matter how big the problem is, to go back to the people of Kansas and they would tell you the answer to the problem. So I've taken those to heart. Just a great salute to a great, great Kansan, and just so grateful for all the people that helped participate in those services. Some of the most spiritually moving moments of my life. So thanks everybody who shared in those.
Yeah, it certainly looked like a wonderful celebration there, and Russell did it upright, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you sharing those sentiments here. We'll shift gears a little bit, talk about some legislation that you have introduced here, and it's to help keep service members from being dishonorably discharged for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. We saw 27 Air Force members discharged yesterday, the first, I believe, so far to be discharged for refusing the shot. And we don't know if any of those were dishonorably discharged, but if they were, I'm curious, what protections does your legislation give to them and the countless others that may follow?
Yeah, Brandon, and this is more than just legislation. This is going to make it to the president's desk. What our legislation would do is if a service member does get separated from the military because of refusing the vaccine, they would not get a dishonorable discharge. And I just want to stop for a moment and tell everybody, tell all your listeners, I support the vaccine. I've had my shots. My parents have had their shots, their boosters. Every senior citizen listening to this show, if they've not got the booster, they should consider getting it. Talk to your doctor about it. If you have underlying health care conditions, if you're overweight, you really need this booster as well. But at the same time, I don't believe in mandates. And if a soldier's being separated, we don't want them to get a dishonorable discharge. And again, so many of your listeners are familiar with the military. They've been in the military. They've had family members in the military. They know what a red mark, a dishonorable discharge is. I remember my dad, when I was a young child, talking. He was the chief of police, and he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to somebody else. He said he would never hire a new police officer with a dishonorable discharge. It takes away your VA benefits, your education benefits, your hospitalization benefits, your funeral on military funeral honors. In some cases, it takes away parts of your Second Amendment as well as the right to vote. We don't want to treat our heroes like felons. Respect the military that they've made their decisions, but I don't want soldiers to get dishonorable discharges over this issue.
Okay. And obviously a big deal for our area, of course, with the connections to Fort Riley. Do you anticipate that there will be a high number of soldiers who refuse the vaccine and then are, in fact, discharged?
Well, Brandon, that's a good question. You know, I'm really concerned about our National Guard, our Army Reserve, maybe 40, 50, 60% of the enlisted servicemen and women have not gotten their vaccine yet. And I just hope, as a former Army doctor myself, that the military would give the doctors, the chaplains, the opportunity to participate in that decision with our soldiers, respect their religious freedoms, respect each person's individual medical history as well. It's really hard for a one-size-fits-all proclamation. I think this is a top-down decision coming from the White House forced on the military. It would be hard for me as an Army doctor to sit there and tell a 19-year-old person that's a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger that they have to get the vaccine when the side effects from the vaccine, the chances of getting a heart inflammation are probably greater than them being hospitalized from the virus. So please, let put those decisions back in the hands of the doctors, the chaplains, and the soldiers themselves.
Well, we've seen from this administration issuing mandates here for vaccines, and they've been there's been mixed reaction to that, no surprise. It may be a reason that the president's poll numbers have been sliding. So I'm just curious, if not a mandate, what is the solution you believe out of this pandemic?
Yeah, so first of all, 92% of Americans have some level of immunity now. 92%. Between the vaccine and having had the virus, some level of immunity. So I think the first thing the White House needs to do is acknowledge natural immunity. And natural immunity is not perfect either. I think that for every person with natural immunity, you probably need to have a conversation with their doctor. Again, a senior citizen may really benefit from the booster on top of natural immunity. But for my five-year-old grandson, I don't know. Since they've already had the virus, does my grandson really need the vaccination on top of it? So I think that the White House needs to be honest and just realize that this virus is going to probably be with us forever. But they're going to have to acknowledge natural immunity. Let me say this. We have an obesity epidemic in this nation. And this virus attacks people with high lipids, with high sugar levels. No matter what the next variant is, or if it's the flu or the common cold, exercise, a healthy diet, 7 hours of sleep, and avoiding stress will help build your own immune system to viruses as well. So I think that's the way out of it, is America needs to be healthier. The people that are at risk probably need to be stay tuned in with the consultation of their local doctor whether or not they need boosters until we have long-term solutions here.
All right. You know, we're speaking with Senator Roger Marshall here on News Radio KMAN. We hear all the national media outlets about the Omicron variant, and it seems like it's been a lot of alarm bells here. What do you think is the appropriate response? Should we be concerned with this new variant?
Well, of course we should be concerned. This is what we know about it. It's very transmissible, and we're seeing in foreign countries that take over, much like Delta took over this country, Omicron has the potential to take over this nation. But for the next month or two, Delta variant is still going to be the problem here. We know that the booster shots are probably necessary to fight Delta and certainly will be necessary to fight the Omicron virus. So the good news is the vaccines plus boosters give you protection. So whether you're fighting Delta or whether it's this Omicron, you'll probably need the booster shot. So I encourage people to do that and kind of go back to my first statements about talking about a healthy diet, healthy choices, exercising every day, something as simple as a 20-minute walk every day, those simple things that our grandma taught us. So I'm not ready to overreact to it, but yet, of course, I'm paying attention. I'm reading everything I can, but probably a little bit better news than we expected as far as booster shots and natural immunity working. Should close and just say again, natural immunity will probably offer better protection to Omicron than the vaccines will, especially without a booster shot.
All right, very good. Lastly, I just want to ask you one final question here. Senator, we're 2 years since COVID-19 was first documented. We still don't have a lot of answers on the origins of COVID-19. Do you believe we'll ever get to the bottom of that and answers from China?
I think there's a lot of answers sitting there, and we have bipartisan legislation with two Democrat senators, Feinstein and Gillibrand, to do just that, to calling for a 911-style commission. And it may take years to get all the answers, but I think there's a preponderance of evidence right in front of us already that would suggest this virus was leaked from a laboratory in Wuhan. I think the argument still out there, the question is, was it made in that lab or did it come from nature and they brought it to the laboratory? There's a lot of DNA labs out there, I think, with answers as well. We need our allies and the whole world to be as concerned about this as we are, pressing China to give us the answers. I think that we can get a lot more answers if we keep pressing. And much like the 911 Commission, it took years for us to figure out who was financially responsible for it, So regardless, we need to do it. And that's probably what I should be talking about, is why we need to do it. Goodness, hundreds of thousands of American families deserve the answer to this question for closure, to prevent future illnesses, to help us better understand this virus, to help us prevent and develop a new vaccine. There's a whole lot of reasons we need to get to the truth of this. When a plane crashes, we go to every length to find out why the plane crashed. So we need to do this for a lot of reasons, and we'll be pushing forward for that.
All right. Well, is there anything else, Senator, we haven't discussed? You want to make sure to get out there to the public?
Yeah, I want to make sure all your listeners know that we'll be voting today on the National Defense Authorization Act. That's so vital to Manhattan, to Junction City, to Fort Riley, to the Big Red One. That's basically the authorization to pay our soldiers, to build new equipment, to get gasoline, to jet fuels, all those types of things. It is a bipartisan legislation. I know people are told back home there's never anything done on a bipartisan basis, but this is a great example of legislation that was accomplished on a bipartisan basis that will help stand up the soldiers of the Big Red One, and we're very proud. Senator Moran has worked very hard on this as well, and Tracy Mann, a congressman for your area there, my area as well, have worked very hard on this and appreciate their support as well.
All right. Well, Senator, it's always good to talk with you here, and we appreciate the opportunity to do that this morning here on KMAN.
You bet. It's been too long, Brandon. Everyone, take care, and Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
All right. Same to you. Merry Christmas. And again, Senator Roger Marshall joining us here live on News Radio KMAN.